What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Factory Report. I'm Caleb Burlingame.
And I'm Luke Rimbin.
And today, we're going to be talking about the NFL free agency, as well as the NFL draft. This is The Factory Report. Luke, in usual fashion, give us the quick news.
The men's baseball team is 8-9 and will play against Ohio on April 9th. The men's and women's track teams are currently competing in the Golden Grizzlies invite in Oakland. The gymnastics team squad finished their season with a close regional loss against Maryland last week. We love them. They lost the championship. You can't hate that. This is a phenomenal season for them, regardless of the regional results. Women's soccer is 6-2 and will play Ball State on Sunday, and women's tennis is 9-9 and plays today, right now, oh my gosh, against Bowling Green. So now with the quick news out of the way, it is our very special pleasure to welcome back onto the program the talented, the guru of the NFL, Nate Schmidt, back at it again. You can read his articles. It's the Assembly Line series. You can find that at easternecho.com/sports. Nate, thank you so much again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, guys.
Yeah, your knowledge is very extensive. We're glad to have you here. Before we get into that, Luke, I have to bring it up. The Luke jinx is in full effect, people. If you listen to last week's episode, Luke predicted a massive Gonzaga win in the Natty, and Gonzaga got destroyed, Luke. Any comments?
So here's the funny thing. Every single prediction I've made here has been absolutely false. So first of all, I need to do a little bit of soul searching. I need to go to a cabin in Wisconsin and think, what am I doing with my life? What are my predictions? What do I want to do? So I need to have a soul searching moment. Also, funny story. By the way, this is a little bit of a plug. I have another podcast with my boy from this show, actually, Danny Murphy Jr., called Spoken Truth Podcast. Check it out. And he told me Friday, the day before the game, that either Baylor was going to keep it really close or they're going to outright win. And I told him he was high. And then Monday night after they won, after Baylor won, he DM'd me and told me that I was high and rubbed the salt into the wound. So that was very exciting for me personally.
All I'm saying about the Luke jinx before we move on is we could use it to our favor. Go say that Michigan's going to lose the Natty for the next 5 years or something.
But... Michigan football is going to be absolute trash. I hope that works.
All right, we'll see. Anyway, on to the NFL free agency. In normal Factory Report fashion, we let our guests go first. So, Nate, let's talk Sam Darnold. What do you think of that trade? Do you think it was overvalued, undervalued, or just right?
You know, I think that this trade is one of the few in the NFL where I think that both teams really get a win here. I was not surprised that Sam Darnold was being moved. It was kind of in the rumor mill that the Jets were looking to move on from him. And I think that what they get back for him is actually, it's not going to pay off immediately since it's just a sixth round pick this year. But there are two picks in next year's draft. There's both, it's a second rounder and a fourth rounder that should help to build around what should be their new quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. Second round isn't bad. Luke, what do you think?
You know, this is not my take. This is from the great and mighty Pat McAfee. But something he said, and something I agree with, is that you, even the hot commodities, you know, those real humdingers, those are the ones you get in the first round. But in the later rounds, that's what keeps the organization going. Like, those are the picks you need, the guys who will come in for maybe just a couple years, but they'll fill the slots you need. So
yeah,
it's every draft pick is valuable. You know, could you hit on it? Yeah. Could you miss on it? Yeah. But draft picks are valuable, even if they may be in the second or fourth round. You can still make things work. It still is value, even though you may say, Sam Darnold for a fourth and a sixth and a second. Like, it's still not bad. And the way Sam Darnold's played, whether you think it's his fault or not, it's good value.
I agree, because the Jets are known to be not the best organization, especially for youth growth. So Sam Darnold's performance on the Jets was poor, but I don't entirely put it on him. He didn't have a very good coaching staff the whole entire time he was there. But another question I wanted to bring up, Nate, now that Carolina has Sam Darnold, are they still looking to take a quarterback, or do you think they draft a wide receiver or go another route?
With the Darnold trade, I think that Carolina is kind of in a similar situation to Detroit, where it's they bring in a new quarterback who may or may not be the long-term answer. And I think that we can't really have too clear of a picture until this time next year, when Darnold's kind of got a full season under his belt with the new staff and everything. And I want to see what he can do kind of just in a new environment where he might feel rejuvenated a little bit, since he's not, hopefully he's not running for his life every other play like he was in New York. So I think that, of course you always do your due diligence as a front office guy. And then, but I do think that Carolina has an opportunity now to kind of build around more of like a framework of their offense, where they can kind of show up their offensive line in particular. It's kind of a work in progress right now. So hopefully something like that, or like an offensive weapon receiver, or even somebody who's kind of a hybrid.
Who do you have in mind, Nate? You sound like you have someone specific in mind.
I do. It's the one and only Kyle Pitts.
I don't think he'll fall that
far. Kyle Pitts?
Far.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's not going to fall that far, but that would be quite a sexy pick, dare I say.
That would be good. Although
Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Pitts.
My only thought on the whole quarterback thing for Carolina is, Nate, what do they have? 8, 9? What's their pick?
8th.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They had the 8th pick. So all these quarterbacks looking to be trending upward in the first 5 picks. It's looking like we might have a quarterback for the first 4 picks for the first time in a very long time. But who would still be there for them to take? Trey Lance, maybe? Or Mac Jones if he doesn't get taken? I just don't see the value. I don't think those guys are above Sam Darnold or his potential. So I agree. I think you do your due diligence, Nate. But at the end of the day, if Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith or a really great offensive lineman is there, I'm probably going to take them over a quarterback.
No, I agree. I mean, that does make sense, since there is more likely than not going to be a huge run on quarterbacks early, unless Carolina finds themselves really like infatuated with one guy. Then I think that you could kind of you could have them there as more of like providing more of like a, not like a friendly competition, but you know, like a healthy a healthy challenger. Is
yes, for sure.
A way to describe that.
So,
go ahead, Luke.
I was just going to say, you feel like Carolina's in a position where they have the flexibility to take the best player available, because, like, you know, we're not in the locker room. We're not able to see, like, Sam Darnold, I guess, in person to kind of see how he's doing. But they're in a really in a position where they could just do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure kind of story, where it's Carolina's got just a whole – they're kind of just, they're stuck in the middle of a forest right now, and there are multiple paths that you could go down. I mean, one might lead to more of a, you know, the dark interior, or you could see kind of just the more serene landscape in front of them, which I think that is a really attractive position to be in as a front office executive. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's not really too many ways that, and especially if they decide that quarterback is not the route to go, there are still plenty of really, really impactful and valuable skill position players that they could pick up at that number 8 spot.
I completely
agree.
Ladies
and gentlemen, that metaphor was brought to you by Nate Schmidt. Follow him on Twitter at CXForce. No spaces in between if you want more content like that. Juicy, glorious metaphor.
Any other comments on Carolina, guys? We kind of all agreed. It's a pretty even trade.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's not, I guess, much else to say. I like what Nate said about them being kind of like the Lions. I view them like the Lions, but just like a year or two down the road. They have their framework of like good players. Like, they have their running back in Christian McCaffrey. They have, you know, they're a team that has a perennially good defense. They have players. They just need the finishing piece, which is the quarterback. You get that quarterback for, well, Sam Darnold isn't on his rookie deal anymore, but you wouldn't have to pay him a ton. But you get that quarterback to come in, and then it's freaking go time, you know, make things happen.
I'm not saying they're a playoff team, even in the next 2 years, but they're on the road to savvy if they pick the right pick at 8. What we will see, though. Any other comments on that, Nate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that they're in a tough division in that NFC South. I mean, you got the reigning you've got the reigning champs in the Buccaneers. The Saints have been perennially good for the last 15 or so years. And Atlanta's looking to rebuild as well. So I'm not sure if the success is going to be immediate. But I do like their framework so far. In last year's draft, they went full defense, every single pick.
Yep.
I think that they had some young cornerstones that they could look to build around on that side of the ball, while also having the flexibility to add, say, another offensive weapon or offensive lineman, like I kind of said earlier.
That's all good and dandy, boys. We will see what happens to Carolina. Moving on to our next segment, we like to call this Glorified or Horrified. And right now we're going to run through some NFL free agency deals that we love and some NFL deals that we are horrified by. So, Luke, do you want to start this one since Nate got the last bid? Give us your first glorified pick.
Yeah, so, you know, full disclosure, I did not make this. This is Nate's glorious creation, but I will list it off because it's fun. The first glorified pick, and one that I think we all love, was running back Jamal Williams, 2 years, that's $6 million for the Detroit Lions. Really savvy pick. You know, it's the perfect, okay, we're going to bring in a dude, a running back, for practically dirt cheap. I just love this. You know, it just shows that, or it doesn't really show, but it potentially illustrates that this front office for the Detroit Lions is not total garbage, question mark. Like, you know, we'll see what they do in the draft, but this signing's important for more than just, oh, it brings in a guy. It's important because it's like, oh, it was a savvy move. It was made their correct way. They didn't overpay, and they got a great guy for a position that they could, you know, use more guys. They have great running backs, but they could, you can always use more. So that's just my thoughts.
Nate, your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely loved this deal when it came out. So I was thinking that originally Williams was one of the top guys on the open market who could go for, say, one of the bigger, more lucrative extensions. But to get him at that rate of roughly $3 million annually is great. I mean, the guy is only 20. He's only in his mid-20s, so the mileage isn't too high on him, which I think is a really, really big plus. And secondly, if you have some spare time, I would seriously advise that you find his introductory press conference. So I really like the guy. His personality is great. And if you need a smile to brighten up your day, just listen to that. He's a really cool guy. And I think that he'll fit in here really, really great.
That's good. We love to have culture guys like that. My only question is that we have AP, we have DeAndre Swift, and we have Kerryon Johnson. With the acquisition of Williams, do you think that we're one of those other three backs is on their way out?
Peterson, get him out of here.
Well,
Peterson's not here anymore? I thought he was re-signing.
No, he's...
That might be my bad.
No, he was on a one-year deal last year. That's okay.
That's my bad then.
I was just saying get him out of here. I didn't know he was already gone, but yeah.
No, that's fine. So what I like about the Williams deal is that he's extremely versatile. Is that he can run in between the tackles as more of like a power guy while also having the chops to be able to dice somebody up in the open field. So I think that with, along with DeAndre Swift, who Dan Campbell has mentioned that he might want to get involved in the passing game aspect, I think that Williams brings a lot to the table. And I think that his role will be pretty similar to what he had on the Packers, just kind of as the guy who can do everything, which I think is super valuable. And then you have your feature guy in DeAndre Swift, and then you have Kerryon, who's also no slouch when it comes to power running. And also a really underrated trait that I really like about him is his pass blocking is extremely good, which means that he, on play action especially, he's super valuable in picking up extra blitzers and making sure that the quarterback's got a clean pocket.
Awesome. That's great to hear. He'll be a great guy for Detroit. Moving on to the second glorified pick. Nate, do you want to give us the second glorified pick?
Sure. The next guy is defensive end Shaquille Barrett, who came back to Tampa Bay on a 4-year, $68 million deal. So now what I really like about this deal is that in the last two seasons, Shaq Barrett has had 27.5 sacks. It's just 2 years. Mm-hmm. So what's been able to facilitate his breakout since he departed from Denver was just kind of in the system of Tampa Bay's defense, has really allowed him to shine as more of like the pass rusher who you got to watch your back when he's on the field. So I think that, and especially at the rates that they got him back, this is an absolute steal for a guy who's a premier edge rusher who could easily go for $20 million a season if he chose to go.
Oh, easily.
So I think this really keeps the Buccaneers' core together on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that it provides them flexibility to be able to still, especially because an interesting stat is that they were able to retain every single starter on both sides of the ball. So I think that that helps facilitate kind of the run it back mentality where like there's a serious chance that the Bucs could be back in the Super Bowl again next year. And I think that Shaq Barrett is a big reason to help them get there again.
I completely agree. He's a Khalil Mack type of horrifying guy to go up against. Luke, what do you think of this deal?
First of all, just a little like asterisk by the numbers we're throwing out. You know, and they correct me if I'm wrong, but not all this money is guaranteed. Am I right?
No, they're not fully guaranteed. NFL contracts are really just it really depends on it really depends on who you're talking about in terms of guaranteed money. I don't see them voiding any years on him unless some things go really, really south. Then, but I mean, it's still with a deal like that, usually what they do is front load the first couple of years so that you can have the guy around, you get him his money, and then kind of have some flexibility towards the end of the contract where the guy's maybe guy's definitely a bit older and you might need some relief in terms of the cap. But Luke, you can go right on ahead with what you're going to say.
Thanks. Appreciate it. But when I see like a number like this, like 68 mil for 4 years for Shaquille Barrett, one of the best defensive players last year, and not all of it is necessarily guaranteed. That's what's so crazy to me. It just shows the power of the ring and the power of Tom Brady, the ageless wonder, the avocado man himself. it boggles my mind, quite frankly, that the Buccaneers were able to get him for so low. And I mean, like it's for better or worse, it kind of like turned the Bucs into like an NBA team where they're like, okay, you know, we'll just keep all of our guys and go at it again. Whether you like it or not, you know, that's your opinion. But it's just a complete steal. There's no way around it. Like, that's all I have. He's a freaking beast, and they got him for basically nothing.
I completely agree, and I think this really shows how great the culture is in Tampa Bay. And maybe that's Tom Brady, maybe it's the coach, but people love winning. And when you're with Tom Brady, who literally texts his teammates at 2 a.m, just win the night before the Super Bowl, and we are going to win, they love that. And the mentality of let's run this back, that was so much fun. We just took down Kansas City in decisive fashion. They're gross. And I think Tampa Bay is going to be absolutely disgusting next year, unless Tom Brady falls off a cliff like they've all been saying he's going to. But Shaquille Barrett, absolutely wonderful pickup for $68 million. Like Nate said, he could have went for $20 million a year somewhere else. But moving on, so the third glorified pick is safety Keanu Neal for 1 year, $5 million to the Dallas Cowboys. Nate, what do you love about this pickup?
All right, so I think the most important thing is, for those of you who aren't necessarily familiar with Neal, he was a rookie.
It's me.
So he came into the league with the Atlanta Falcons during the 2016 draft, and he right off the bat was an incredibly dynamic box safety. Where, in other words, meaning that he was able to provide help and coverage against tight ends, and while also being able to be versatile enough to rush the passer too. It's just that what keeps his figure so low is that he's got kind of a scary injury past, but I think that if he comes back healthy, and especially since in Dallas, former head coach Dan Quinn is now the defensive coordinator. So that gives him a system where he's extremely comfortable. It's where he saw his best production. I mean, he made the Pro Bowl in only his second season. So I think that just with reuniting with Quinn is really going to help him kind of just reignite his career and kind of provide more of an underrated move that not many have really looked at under kind of the magnifying glass, so to speak. But I think that this deal has little chance to go wrong, while also providing a big upside to potentially look like one of the biggest steals of free agency.
Okay, hold up. I've got to know. So you said this guy, Keanu Neal, however his name is pronounced.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a box safety who's able to rush the passer and guard tight ends. And this is kind of an unfair question, Nate, but I trust your brain. How much does this guy weigh? Like, how big is he?
Well, I will have to thank Google for this. So he is 6 foot, about 210 pounds, which is pretty – he's a little bigger than the average defensive back. So he's able to – like I said, he's able to pick up tight ends in coverage, which tight ends are massive human beings. So, that you know, that's no easy feat for anybody. So I think that he's got some speed. Like, that much is not in question at all. So I think that his versatility, his familiarity within the scheme is really going to play to his advantage in Dallas.
That's really crazy because, you know, I full disclosure, I didn't know this guy before Nate put him onto our script.
Come on,
Luke. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm focusing on NBA, but like this guy sounds like a corner who can really fill a need that most teams don't have. Like a safety for with a tight end, that's usually what teams go for in terms of matchup. So if you're able as a safety, be like, okay, I can play safety, but I can also rush the passer and, you know, guard tight ends. That's like, you know, a hot take, but that's pretty darn valuable at least. What do you think, Caleb?
Oh, I completely agree. I love this deal. I think it was an absolute steal. Like you said, Nate, he does have an injury, but $5 million, it's not that big of a risk, honestly. I don't think so, Nate.
Yeah.
And another thing I wanted to say is that sometimes I think this could be like a rental year where he's just going to try to prove himself for low money, kind of like a DeMarcus Cousins, Luke, for like the NBA, a guy who takes a super low contract for a year to prove he can play without injury, and then maybe he'll go for a bigger contract somewhere else, or maybe he'll just re-sign with Dallas. But I think he's just going to look to really reevaluate his worth this year and show people, hey, I can still play. It doesn't matter about my injury.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that that defensive backfield in Dallas is in sore need of some help. And I think that Neal provides some real relief in that regard, because I think that it kind of lets them focus more on the corner side versus having to worry about getting safeties too.
Yep, completely agree. Any other comments on Neal?
Nah, Neal's good with me.
Good pickup.
Yeah, good pickup.
Nearing the end of the glorified list, we have two left. Nate, do you want to introduce us?
Sure. So the next one is wide receiver Will Fuller, who came to the Miami Dolphins on a one-year, $10.5 million deal.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Will Fuller the fifth? Yeah. Get his name right.
Jeez. Oh, semantics, Luke. Come on.
Go ahead, Nate.
Sure. So what I really like about this deal is that Miami has been really hungry for receivers that can stretch the field, and Fuller fits this bill perfectly. So with the Texans last couple of seasons, he's really been able to showcase and kind of just separate himself from the rest by his ability to get open in the open field, for one. And two, being able to be a really reliable target for Deshaun Watson. And I think that what this does for Miami in specific is it really unlocks kind of one of the key potential like upsides that this offense could be really, really packing a lot of firepower due to Fuller being able to take some pressure off of some of their other guys like a Devontae Parker or a Jakeem Grant. And it really helps too, because, I mean, they have been not shy about their need to go after some guys in free agency.
So yeah.
I think that with this 1 year kind of prove it deal, which I think that Fuller, if the Texans cap wasn't in such a horrible tragedy,
horrible place.
kind of state, I think that he was one of the candidates who could have been franchise tagged, which means that he would have been paid for 1 year within the top five of his position. So you kind of pool all those together and figure out what the average of that would be. And that would be the figure. So I think that what Miami gets out of this is a really, really Pro Bowl caliber kind of guy While it's only for a year, still, it can be, like you said earlier, Caleb, it could be kind of a trial run to see how he's going to fit in Miami, which I think the fit is seamless.
Me too.
I hope he really pops off and goes and earns his bag.
This makes me salivate at the mouth if somehow Miami does go receiver two in the draft. I'm sorry, but any defense is going to struggle so hard against them with Tua having Devontae Parker, Will Fuller V, and any of the wide receivers in this draft at his disposal. That would make that offense absolutely gross. And I know that the odds they draft receiver are sort of low. There's many other things they could do, but you grab Jamar Chase or Devontae. Why am I not thinking of his name? From
Devontae Smith.
Smith, thank you. Parker Smith, Adams, so many Devontae's.
Yeah, it's always like Devontae Smith, Devontae Adams, like which one
Devontae
am I going
Parker,
here?
So many. Yeah, you know what I mean. But that offense would be absolutely disgusting. Luke, what do you think of this pickup?
I love Will Fuller, the fifth. Him being released by the Texans, like to me, I saw that and I was like, give me a break. Because like, that was one of the things that proved it to me that, for some bad grammar, that Houston really was just an absolute garbage franchise. Because he's a really good receiver. He's really good. And they just let him walk, you know. It showed they really didn't care. But and enough of the Houston, enough of the poor, unfortunate Houston. How about the prosperous Dolphins? Like, they're freaking stacked. And like you said, if they get a receiver in the draft, oh, lordy. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like Cleveland when we all thought they were going to be a fantasy football offense, except they're actually going to be a functional offense, you know.
If Tua plays well, yeah.
Yeah, and like, you know, 1 year prove a deal, you give up very little to bring a guy in just to see if he works, you know, and I'm sure that Mr. Fuller wants to kill and that he's fully motivated to come in and really prove his worth here. So if you're Miami, you literally don't lose at all in any way, shape, or form by bringing him in here. You give yourself a weapon, like you were talking about, Nate, you know, relieve stress on other guys, and you give up very little. And if he works out, amazing. Give that guy a bag, give him a massive contract, and then it's go time, you know?
Yeah, completely agree, boys. The final and last glorified pick, I'm going to introduce him myself, guard Joe Thuny. Thuny, I'm pretty sure it's Thuny. 5 years, $80 million to the Kansas City Chiefs. Nate, I know exactly what you're going to say. Look what happened in the Super Bowl. They need an offensive line, but tell me your info on this.
Well, maybe I wasn't going to lead with that, but I mean, we were all thinking it, but
I will.
So with Thuny in particular, I think what really sets him apart is that he is extremely versatile. He can play all five positions on the line, which I can't think of another guy off the top of my head who can do that. And especially at guard, where he is more along the interior, he's a Pro Bowl caliber guy. So, I mean, you're getting, he kind of blows. If he stays at guard, he kind of just resets the market at that position because it's so much higher than everybody else. But at the same time, I think that Kansas City learned the hard way that the offensive line, I mean, the wars are won in the trenches. So I think that by adding him, I think that this is a seriously just it's a no-brainer, to be completely honest. With Kansas City looking to rebuild their line, they're still, and especially since they released both Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz this offseason.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that if they can't find a suitable left or right tackle fill-in, they could always move Thuny there, who can provide some really good, just really awesome versatility that should be able to accommodate a lot of whichever way Kansas City wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a suggestion. How about they pick up another boy from Eastern Michigan? We saw how our boys represented the Super Bowl. We should get another one. Send them up there to the freaking Kansas City. Show them how it's done.
Are you talking like Dickie Vitale from college basketball?
Oh my gosh, dude!
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Quick tangent. Me and my little brothers were really little, we had NCAA 2001 for the PS1. Dick Vitale was on that, and he had the craziest sayings. Tickle the twine, taste this basketball sandwich. Ugh, I hate that guy.
I know. Dickie Vitale's something else. Moving on to the horrified list. This first one is just so gross you have listed on Nate, but give it to me. It's such a gross deal.
Oh, I love this deal. It's for quarterback Andy Dalton for 1 year, $10 million to the Chicago Bears. Now, why I say I love this deal is as a faithful Lions fan, I love it when the Bears can't get their crap together. I love it. It makes me so happy as just the, you know, serially just disappointed Lions fan that I am. It makes me so happy when the Bears can't just get it together. I mean, when I heard this deal came into effect, I was like, oh, Andy Dalton, like, sure, he's a really above average backup guy. And then go and say, hey, Andy Dalton's our guy. And then that just made me just sigh and just looked at the heavens to say, thank you.
As a Lions
fan. Bears. From being any good. It makes me so, so happy.
Luke, do you have anything to say about Andy Dalton to the
Bears? First of all, you can never really trust a ginger. I don't know why he's still in the NFL for his red hair, quite frankly. Now, Nate, you're blonde, right? You're blonde, not red hair, right?
Yes, I'm
okay,
blonde.
Okay, good. We're good. We're good. Just making sure. Otherwise, we'd have to kick you off the show. Trust the gender. Uh-huh. But as a Lions fan, I'm freaking doing Russian squat dancing. I'm out here dancing like Shakira. You know, I'm out here busting all the moves because I'm so happy. As an NFL fan, I'm like, oh my gosh, what the actual F are you doing? Like, this is like Nate said, you're like, okay, we're in the mix for Russell Wilson. At least they offered the farm for him so they can say, hey, we tried. But like, oh my gosh, how do you go from Russell Wilson to the ginger quarterback equivalent of death right here in Andy Dalton? Like, what are you doing? At least it's only for 10 mil. Like,
It's only 1 year at the end of the day. If it doesn't work out, he's on the road again to find another team that's good.
If I'm Khalil Mack, I'm like, get me out of here. Like, I didn't sign up for this.
I know he didn't. Second pick on the horrified list. Nate, give it to us.
All right. So for the next guy, it's a safety, Rayshon Jenkins, for 4 years, $35 million to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now I'll throw it back to you guys. Out of the two of you, who has ever heard of this guy before?
Not me. 35 million? I was going to ask, who is this dude?
I mean, like, he's going to Jacksonville, and I know Jack Diddley squat about Jacksonville.
They're terrible. That's all you need to know.
Exactly. I thought. So,
and you've got a good running back.
Yeah, to give some more context to this, Jenkins has played the early parts of his career with the Chargers, and he was more of...
Oh, so he's really good then.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Jenkins basically is more of a Swiss Army knife, kind of master of none kind of guy, who, especially as you guys so beautifully highlighted for me, you guys have never heard of him. And now he's getting upwards of, especially because some of the top safeties in the league go in around that $8 to $9 million a year kind of deal. And for a guy who has never really been a superstar, I mean, he's shown flashes of some really, you know, good capabilities, but I mean, for a guy who's never really proved it as one of the elite guys, to give him that much money, I mean, I get it, Jacksonville, you got some money to burn, but I mean, you can't find a little better. Like, that just seems
like a lot of money
hard to believe.
Yeah.
My take real quick with this is that, I don't know this guy. I've never watched him play. But as a general rule, Swiss Army knives don't work. You know, and Jabril Peppers, I guess, comes to mind as the hometown hero. Yeah, he's good, but, like, he's not, like, a superstar. Like, a Swiss Army knife, if you're going to the NFL, you got to be exceptional at one thing at least. So a Swiss Army knife, they come and they're like, I can do all these different things, but not that well because they're all pros as opposed to college, you know. That's just my take.
Luke, I will debate you on Jabril Peppers another day. But moving on to the third horrified pick. Luke, do you want to introduce this one for Nate?
Running back Kenyon Drake, 2 years, $11 million to the scumbag Las Vegas Raiders. Kenyon Drake burned me in fantasy. He's really inconsistent, and I didn't know what he was doing in Arizona. So if I'm the Raiders, I'm like, why am I giving him just like,
5.5 a year
in general. Why am I bringing him in? Like, they've already got what, Josh Jacobs? Like,
yeah.
Maybe you say, okay, we need more depth, but like, you've got your guy. Why are you?
Exactly, just, Nate. What do you think?
Yeah, like what Luke was saying, this move does not make a whole lot of sense for the Raiders. They have Josh Jacobs, who is a really, really bright young star at running back.
Mm-hmm.
And so Drake was considered one of the premier guys at running back to hit the open market. So yeah. I think that, yeah, this one just is a head scratcher. There's no way around it. To give that much money to a guy who has never eclipsed 1,000 yards in a season, for one, mm-hmm. who has been wildly inconsistent, and also, it just, I don't know. There's, it just, it doesn't make any sense. And I mean, it's just, it's mm-hmm. it's a typical Raiders move. Like nobody, it's so far out of left field that it's in the bleachers at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Completely agree. We'll see if Kenyon Drake even gets a chance to succeed in Las Vegas. Like Josh Jacobs would have to go down with an injury and he'd have to ball out or something for me to take back what I'm saying right now, but not much to say. That's a weird head-scratching waste of money, in my opinion. You could go throw it on a position you actually need. But moving on to our last two horrified picks. Second to last, we have outside linebacker Bud Dupree, 5 years, $82.5 million to the Tennessee Titans. Nate, why are they throwing that much money at him?
All right, so Dupree played last season with the Steelers on the franchise tag. As he had a breakout season prior to, it was a contract year when he had his really big year. So the Steelers tagged him to keep him. But with Dupree's production, especially as a former first-round pick, has never really lived up to the hype of his draft position, for one. And for two, he's got a scary injury past. I mean, he had a major injury this year that kept him out of all but a few contests. And I think that for the Titans who, well, yeah, I mean, outside linebacker, I would peg as probably their number one need. But to pay that much money for a guy who's been inconsistent throughout his career, I think is just, it's extremely, extremely risky. And I think that, especially on 5 years, that's nothing to scoff at. That's a big commitment. So hopefully it works out for him, but I mean, I'm definitely skeptical.
Me too. What do you think, Luke?
I mean, like, thanks for kind of explaining that, Nate, because like it sounds just like another Le'Veon situation where like the Steelers are like, no, we don't want to pay you because we know we'll screw ourselves, and you know maybe he didn't. I mean, like, it's different from Le'Veon in that Le'Veon was one of the best backs in the league. Mr. Dupree sounds like he was, you know, just like a little bit overvalued, and the Steelers were like, you know what? No, we're not going to make the decision. Then Titans swooped in and were like, all right, we're going to freaking lock you up. So I understand if you're the Titans that you want to be aggressive with your defense, because their defense, if I remember correctly, last year was not too good. Mm-hmm. They could probably use him, but they clearly overpaid for him.
Yeah, they need some pass rushing help like desperately, but I don't think this throwing money at a guy like this, I don't know if it's really going to pan out.
And it's very long term, so they do not have a lot of room for error with this pickup.
True.
Rounding out our episode in the horrified section, defensive end Trey Hendrickson, 4 years, $60 million to the Bengals. Nate, run me through this.
All right, so with the deal with Hendrickson is that he is kind of a tweener in the fact that he can play he can line up on the inside a defensive tackle.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Did you just say tweener?
I did.
Hey, can you explain what that means first? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I've ruined your mojo like three times with three of your takes, but I've got to know what tweener means.
Sure. So it means it's a guy who doesn't really fit into one category. What I was saying was that Hendrickson doesn't really fit into either category. And I think that to pay a lot of money like they did with this, especially when they had a guy who they could retain in-house in Carl Lawson, who went to the Jets on a similar type of deal, who is also younger and has a higher ceiling too. So it doesn't really make a whole ton of sense to me why you would let Lawson walk and bring in a guy who's just a slight downgrade from that for more money.
Yeah, I've got a great take with this. I don't know anybody on the Bengals besides Joe Burrow. That's my take.
Anybody? Hey, Nate, remind me to get Luke in my fantasy football league next year so I can wipe him.
Oh yeah, me too.
Oh
me
my
too.
gosh.
We wanted to talk some Lions draft and talk about Mac Jones to you guys, but unfortunately we're out of time, so look for that in the future. We could put that out in a further episode. Nate, absolutely. Thank you so much again for coming
yes.
on. Your expertise is so far above what I currently know in the NFL, so we really appreciate it. You bring a lot of great stuff to this episode. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, it was super fun. I'm really glad I got to talk to you guys.
Awesome. You want to take us out, Luke?
Sure thing. That'll do it for today's episode of The Factory Report. If you like what we do here, please consider subscribing on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to producer Ronia for throwing together this episode. From my church's kitchen, I'm Luke Grimbin.
And from my desk, I'm Caleb Burlingame.
We'll be back next week, hopefully, with some EMU sports. This is
The Factory Report.